We will call to order the Aurora Planning Commission. It is 7 p.m. on Tuesday, January 2nd, 2024. Would the recorder please call the roll?
Sure. Chairman Joseph Schaefer.
Here.
Commissioner Bud Fawson.
Here.
Commissioner Jonathan Gibson.
Here.
Commissioner Bill Grout.
Here.
Commissioner Craig McNamara.
Here.
Commissioner Jim Stewart.
Here.
And Commissioner Tyler Messers.
Here.
Thanks to everyone for coming. And as always, we begin with the consent agenda. Is there any comment on the minutes we have from last month's meeting?
No comments. I move to accept them.
Second.
So we have a motion by Stewart, a second by McNamara. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, hearing none. No visitors in the crowd. No visitors online tonight. We'll have to talk to our HRB friends about that. Okay, no hearings tonight, but we skipped over new business. I wanted to check. Do we have any terms that are due for renewal?
No, we do not.
Okay.
It's all 25 and 27.
Okay.
So got Bill, Jim, and Matt Kurtz. The two, yeah.
And 25?
Everybody else is 27. So we could be Joseph and three
okay.
And then four.
Yeah. Okay. We don't have any hearings tonight, but in talking about the agenda, Stewart gave me a heads up about a couple things that are coming down the pike. So could you repeat that for these folks? So
in terms of the code amendment?
Maybe, no, the hearings for next month, car dealer and the boat place.
Oh, like the home occupation thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's working its way through our planner. There's going to be a conditional use permit associated with that, so it'll have to submit an application, provide based on some provisions of Title 16, kind of a well-rounded explanation as to why it's not like a car dealership. I don't want to take it that far, but it's basically working on cars and turning them into kind of like a for sale type of
flipping cars.
Yeah, they're cars he has an interest in. I don't know if they're older vehicles, maybe, but he's just, everything would take place in his garage. And, there's some potential for challenges to that with things that might spill out in the driveway, into the neighborhood, and people complaining. And so we would just have to be cognizant of that going into, maybe some conditionality to that kind of a home occupation business for approval. So that's my conversation with Kurt, our planner.
Okay.
I don't know if there's any reason why that shouldn't take place other than just the obvious, if things got lax and you wanted to condition that so that could be removed if there were a problem.
Okay. So we're not here to talk about the merits of anything tonight. This
sure.
is just about a schedule update. Okay. So you think we'll see that in February?
February is a stretch. It's probably
okay,
March.
Maybe March. Okay.
Yeah, based on that, kind of the notice that has to be given.
All right. And then the second one was?
What was the second?
I can tell you about it because my nephew-in-law is involved in it. And I'll be recusing myself, but I can tell you about it. It's the old junkyard property here on 99.
The boat storage one.
Yeah.
Right next to the storage, right?
Kind of behind it.
Behind
the Hilbert chocolate factory, etc.
Yeah.
In the back, it is a boat dealership that has a location on the Willamette, kind of just a stone's throw west of I-5. And they've been looking for a warehouse for a long time to store extra boats.
Mm.
They've been working with DEQ to get the property cleaned up, and the sellers, which is a widow of the gentleman who had the junkyard for years and years. And so Stewart gave me a heads up that this was like a come in maybe February, maybe March.
It's coming soon. We're pretty much we are at a complete application.
Great. And again, I'll be recusing myself because my nephew-in-law works there.
Okay.
Old business, airport land use update. Jonathan, I assume there was no meeting.
There wasn't.
No PAM meeting.
Nope.
Okay. We did have a meeting. We, the mayor and Councillor Rodenfeely and I met with three people from the Department of Aviation a couple weeks ago just to have a meet and greet. They wanted to introduce themselves as the new ODA team and see what they could do to improve communications with the city. All very friendly. Their new planning person, who's in the job that Heather Peck used to be in, anyone remembers that name? His name is Alex Thomas, and he is going to be on our technical advisory committee for the EOA. That committee has its first meeting on Thursday, January 11th at 3 p.m. live here in City Hall and also on Zoom. Everyone is invited to attend. Tyler Meskers and Julie Sixkiller are actually going to be on the committee because they're two city people who actually have practical personal experience with industrial type real estate. The other folks on the committee are the economic development people from Woodburn, Wilsonville, Canby, Business Oregon, you know, et cetera.
What time is that meeting again?
3 o'clock.
And where is it?
Here.
Here.
Okay. And on Zoom. Be great if you could come.
On the 11th?
Pardon me? On the 11th, yeah.
I didn't send that Zoom link out. I think I did, but I could be wrong. I'll make sure.
Yeah, I think you sent it to me and I sent it to the people, didn't you?
Okay.
Yeah.
We got 12.
Okay. Memory serves. Okay, see next on the airport, nothing happening on the 2012 master plan case, except we found out one of the judges who's on the panel, because her husband changed jobs and is now working for the state. So they sent a letter to everybody participating in any case in front of her saying, you know, hey, my husband is now going to be, he's a lawyer, going to be working for the state. And if you think that creates a conflict of interest, say so. That's encouraging because this is a judge who wrote one of the opinions, I forget which one, in our favor previously. But other than that, it's just sitting in the inbox. On the TLM case regarding the church camp, there's sort of two big developments. One you've heard about before, which is this coming Friday, the 5th at 1 p.m., there's a hearing in Marion County Circuit Court on their motions plural to dismiss the case because they, from their perspective, I should, go to the coast and pound some sand and I have no legal reason to be there. So we'll see how that goes. The other thing is that TLM has submitted a new application to Marion County. This time it's all helicopters and some helicopter type drones. It's down to 277 parking spaces, apparently less office space, although we've only got a small portion of the documents. They submitted apparently about 300 pages and the county it hasn't got them all uploaded, whatever. So we've only seen, maybe 10% of the application. But essentially they're rebranding it to try to get around some of the reasoning that Lubin, the Court of Appeals, used in the last case. We'll see how that goes. I didn't bring any or send Stuart any materials to put in the packet because I don't want us to be going, half-cocked until we get the full application. Nothing's going to happen real soon. You know, hearing, just to recap, so it includes a comprehensive plan amendment with goal exceptions like the previous ones. And so that means there's a hearing in front of the hearings officer and then also a hearing in front of the Board of Commissioners. Neither of those hearings has been scheduled yet. You know, we'll see how that goes. Any questions about that? I'll be sure and distribute materials as soon as they are available. Okay, then on the new master plan, the other day they published a notice that the Public Advisory Committee meeting is going to have the next meeting, first one in a long time, on Tuesday, January 30th from 5 to 7. Available on Zoom or by phone, apparently not in person. This meeting will provide an opportunity for the PACT and stakeholders to review working paper number one, which is the first three chapters of the new master plan. The FAA approved forecast and learn about the airport master plan project. A link if you want to look at documents. As a reminder, you know, they went through five drafts of this sort of working paper number one, which is again the first three chapters of the master plan. The fifth draft, I think, is dated in August. And so I would encourage everyone to read it. Basically, all indications are they're planning for what they did last time, you know, larger airplanes, C2 and D2. So sort of the larger size passenger jets. I'm not sure what the interiors are, but, you know, I'd say 12 to 16, maybe 18 passengers. That size of jet is what they're talking about so far. Any questions about the PAC meeting?
What was the time of that again?
January 30th at 5, from 5 till 7 p.m. Okay. That's it. Do they cover all four? We'll talk about the EOA in a little more detail. So in your packet, we sent our first draft of the buildable lands inventory. So there's a map here, a nice map that Kurt and his GIS people did, a couple of them, covering all the commercial and industrially zoned properties in the city limits and inside the UGB, with an indication of which ones were vacant and, you know, presumably developable, and others which are not vacant but presumably redevelopable, including, for example, where the boat warehouse is going to go. These maps also show some constraints, including wetlands, slopes, and the two big ones, yeah, and flood. Perhaps that goes without saying. So I'm curious to know, does anyone have any comments on these? I mean, it's intended to be very much an iterative and open source kind of thing, participatory. So my request is that everyone look at these maps carefully and put your knowledge of our fair city to work, and let us know if, you know, you think there's a property that's not on here that should be, or vice versa, for any reason. And don't feel constrained. We have used the sort of standard constraint factors like water and slope and so forth, However, if you believe that there is a constraint of any kind that would, you know, limit or restrict or prohibit development on any of these properties, please say so. Okay.
So for this round, it is simply all of the developable land that is either undeveloped or underdeveloped, completely independent of whether it is also suitable for aviation purpose, right?
Yes.
The does this meet the kind of more constrained goals is the second part of the process, or at least not this part of the process, right?
It's not this part of the process.
Okay.
Although it could be, okay, and in the sense of, you know, the question is, could some of these lands support airport-related businesses? I'm not aware of any airport-related businesses that we have in town directly. I mean, people making, you know, equipment for airplanes or... Yeah. Well, outside the city limits, when Bud was doing Airbnb, he would have pilots stay occasionally.
Can you clarify why the open field next to me is not included in this?
Is it zoned residential?
No,
it's zoned commercial. It's good to catch.
Okay, then look at the map. Yes.
I'm zoned commercial.
Yeah,
I knew you, but that was the one time.
Yeah. Good catch. Thank you, Jim.
You're welcome. Definitely something that can be developed.
That's the one south of them.
Yeah, that's right next to me. The one that open field next to me.
Right here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and the one north of the electric company, I'm wondering, you know, across the street from you directly, Jim. I'm also wondering about.
Seems to be pretty open.
Well, that's being developed right now. At least it's supposed to be.
There's
for what?
Some interest in like some multifamily housing or a complex, but it's been pretty slow. I haven't heard anything.
Oh, you mean the one next to me? Well, the one across the street is a construction company.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Yeah, I don't know where their status is in terms of what they're doing. They're going to have to put probably 500 truckloads of fill in there, at least.
So have they come for an application for anything? Or?
Which one?
Right across from...
The one across 99?
Construction company?
Yeah, the construction company.
They have, but it's not complete. So they've got some work. They've done quite a bit of work, actually. Geologic study that you and it's a problematic issue of the drainage,
right?
On the hill, and the bill that you say, getting it engineered so that it can take the water through that area.
Yeah, I know they've got some culvert work in there, there's a spring apparently, and they've got that to try and direct that away. Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of months
of work to be done before. It's going to be kind of a complex thing. Yeah.
Okay. Any other comments on the EOA or the draft buildable lands inventory?
So, a next step in this to determine how much land needed for future development is the existence of current aviation businesses on property that is EFU Does that essentially come into the EOA whole? As this yes. is clearly a need because it already exists, but it's not permitted on the land for which it's zoned, or the zoning for which
the short answer is yes. Okay. Of course, it's way more complicated than that, but it's classified as yes. It's not part of our existing buildable lands inventory because it's outside the city and outside the UGB. But in terms of, you know, what is the demand for, you know, industrial or airport land? Yes, it counts.
Okay.
We don't pretend that's all vacant.
Okay, got it.
Other questions or comments? Okay, next, then we have our code amendments. And there are two things that have been added since last month, and then one more which hasn't been drafted yet, but I spoke to the Department of Aviation folks about, I'll tell you about in a minute. The ones that we have drafted regard storm drainage. You know, Jim has been driving this, and we sat down and actually knocked out some new code in chapter 1634.090, which is storm drainage. And that code was written in a way that says it had sort of a 1 acre trigger in it. And so what we did, as you know, is Jim's whole concept is for smaller sites. So what we've done is clarified that the sort of existing code applies if you've got an acre or more, and our new sort of prescriptive path is for code that's less than an acre. Any questions about this? It's taken, most of it's copied and pasted with sort of textual rewording, but it's basically a copy from the Clackamas County materials that you've seen before.
Yeah.
Questions about that? Okay, the other change is barbed wire. I noticed that the new storage place has barbed wire at the top of their fence. And so that was a surprise that that could occur in the gateway. And so in coordination with Kurt and Stuart, you'll see some emails we had back and forth with a little tweak about barbed wire fencing not being allowed except on industrial properties. Okay? Just to clarify that. Questions on barbed wire? Comments on barbed wire?
Well, I'm a little confused of where the final result is here. You don't want that. You want to differentiate, well, two things, the gateway standards and elsewhere, all right?
But there aren't any industrial properties in the gateway, right?
I don't know. So if you look at page 12 of the packet, kind of in the middle of the page, they talk about Title 16.38.060C. This is an existing paragraph, and then at the end it says in bold italics, barbed wire fencing is prohibited. Is that what you're looking for, Jim?
Yeah, that doesn't correlate with the one over
8.08.
Oh, I see. I'm going backwards, that's why.
Yeah, it's a little confusing, but there's two code sections that we're
okay
talking about.
Got it. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the third one, which we don't have text for yet, is another concept that we talked about before, which is the airport overlay zone, which is written in aviation speak. And my interpretation of it was that no building can be built in the city higher than 130 feet above the highest point of the runway. And we talked about this with the Department of Aviation a couple weeks ago. They thought it might be 150 feet above the highest point of the runway, but generally they're agreeable on the concept. And Alex Again, Alex Thomas, their planning manager, agreed to work with us to try and iron out some language to clarify that.
In terms of sea level?
Yes. Yeah, I'm a big fan of going to sea level. You have to be clear what your datum is. The 88 or the 29, there's about a 3.5 foot difference. So I forget which one's higher or lower. But that way, it just generally doesn't change much. And otherwise, if you're not real specific, you know, you get arguments about where you measure from and so forth. So everyone knows what the height of the runway is. Height of the runway is not going to change. Okay, maybe they're going to put a little more pavement. Okay, so it change, you know, whatever, inches. You know, that's not going to change. And the sea level changes once every 60 years, or the measurement, the datum, which is sort of the baseline that they measure it from. Okay, so we're just going to go there and then up 130 or 150 feet. And, you know, if someone wants to build a, you know, a building that's taller than 150 feet, then they can worry about it later. But for our purposes, I think that's more than enough. And again, the whole goal is just to simplify.
75-foot amateur radio tower.
You might be able to. How much lower?
It depends where the lowest point in your
land. Yeah, so what's your base?
I'm about 170 feet above sea level right now.
Okay, so that's about 100 feet below the runway.
50 feet.
That's right. It's 190 something, right?
199. So
yeah. So you get 199 plus 130 or 150.
Okay.
Okay.
Not going to do it anyway.
Okay. Any questions about those code update issues?
Get your wire clipped.
Anything else for the good of the order tonight, gentlemen?
Everything's fine.
Okay, hearing none, we will adjourn at 7:26 p.m.